already did an introduction, so I won't spend a lot of time there, but it's good to have Bryce and Emily here, and he does have a PowerPoint. I'll let Clarence get that pulled up. Bryce, there is an iPad sitting here with, I think I have it down to where you won't see any screens on there, but it is here. If they do pop up, you'll know. So, Bryce, why don't you come on up, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Can you guys hear me all right? Awesome, very good. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Emily and I are so grateful just to be here this morning to share with you guys. As many of you guys know, Emily grew up here. This is her childhood home. She went to church here as a kid, and she was telling me, she's like, yeah, I used to go play back in this room and that room, so that's a lot of fun. We're grateful to be back here today. Here's the clicker. There we go. All right, so as you've probably heard, Emily and I are missionaries to Canada, to Northwest Ontario. Do we have slides? So first, we're going to have you all stand. Okay, you don't put your hand over your heart, but we're going to sing the Canadian National Anthem together. All right? There we go. Yep. Make your way to your feet. There we go. Perfect. Okay. There we go. You know, if we're going to be buying Canada, we might as well know their national anthem. All right, let's sing together. Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all of us command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north, strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. This is the loud part. God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. All right, good job. Give yourselves a round of applause. I'm not going to embarrass you guys anymore today. Very good. Awesome. So we're missionaries to Northwest Ontario, and we're just excited to be here. We moved up to Canada on May 6th of this year, so we've been there just over between five and 6 months now, and we're just loving it up there. Emily moved up there when she was 8 years old in 2011, so her family's up there. We serve alongside her parents, Pastor Rick and Jamie Mickish. Many of you know them, and we're helping at their church, Community Baptist Church, in Beardmore, Ontario, which is a small town of 150 people, so just a thriving metropolis up there. But our outreach really is a regional ministry. It's not just to the town of Beardmore, but really to the whole region. Our region is called Greenstone. So Greenstone is actually a name that miners would use for gold, because when you see it in the ore, it has a green hue to it. So our region is very mineral rich. Canada's second largest gold mine is an hour away from our house, in the middle of Greenstone. So there's in our region of Greenstone, there's 5 non-native communities and then 6 First Nations communities or reserves up there. So this is kind of a view of our area. We live in that yellow dot in Beardmore. That's very zoomed out. You see Lake Superior on the south end of that. And up in the north in that white dot, you see Nakina. So that's the northernmost town in Greenstone. And then you see all those red dots up at the top. Those are all remote First Nations reserves. So the only way to access those is there's an 8-week period in winter where there's ice roads that go to them, take them all their big supplies, your four-wheelers, snowmobiles, anything bigger. And then airplane all year round is how that is accessed up there. So our ministry is to all these regions. Obviously, we can't get up north too frequently. But in the region of Greenstone, so basically between the yellow and white dot there, is primarily where our ministry centers. But we really have a heart for a lot of these communities up north as well. A lot of them have very little Christian influence, biblical Christian influence on them. A few of them maybe have a Pentecostal or an Anglican or Catholic church, but very few of them, if any of them, have a doctrinally sound church in them that is preaching the clear gospel. So we really have a heart to plant churches in these communities, to train up boys and girls who can be leaders in their communities and share the gospel with them and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's really where our heart is at. I'm going to go through a few slides. Yep. So we minister to the First Nations people. In our area, we have winter about 6 months of the year, so trapping is really big. A lot of trapping going on. So that's the youth group that we have, and that was a fur trapper's course. So Emily's dad is a licensed trapper. Emily's a licensed trapper. And I am making my way there. So halfway through December, I'm going to get my course done, and then I'm going to be a licensed trapper too. So Emily and her dad are teaching me all the ropes, how to clean fur, clean animals, trap them, wolves, lynx, marten, all sorts of stuff, beaver. So it's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing that. And it really is an open door to minister to the people in these communities. They eat it up. A lot of the people in their communities, trapping and a lot of those more traditional activities are really dying with modern technology. Video games are kind of winning. So it really creates an open door because a lot of the parents don't even do trapping or know these traditional things. So the fact that Emily's family knows them, the fact that I'm learning them, they want us to teach their kids how to do that. So it really creates an open door for us to talk with them, to kind of teach them stuff and to share the gospel with them, to share with them from God's word. So that's a really neat open door there. Another thing that we do is our church runs Wasaya North Bible Camp. So we talked about it a little bit this morning. Wasaya North means, or Wasaya means the source or origin of light in the Ojibwe language. So Jesus Christ is the source of light, the source of truth. So that's where the name comes from. So previously, Wasaya North has been a 1 week out of the summer type deal. We were doing Bible clubs, Emily's family was doing Bible clubs on a reserve, and the leadership changed and kind of blocked them out. So they started Bible clubs doing it where the kids would come to them instead of them going on the reserves and doing it for the kids. And that has grown since they began doing that in 2018. And recently, in the past few years, God has blessed the Bible camp with their own property. We are borrowing another camp's property for that 1 week, and God has blessed us with our own property. Some of you guys have been up. I know Clarence and Pastor Brian, Pastor Steve have come on up and helped with the construction up there, and you guys are a part of that. Even if you haven't been up, you guys pray for the ministry up there, and we're so grateful. Pastor Rick texted me this morning. He's like, make sure to say hi to the people of Deer River Bible Church and say thank you to them, because they would not be on the mission field, and as a result, we wouldn't be on the mission field without you guys. So we owe so much to you for your love, your support, your prayers, and we're so grateful for that. So we praise the Lord for you guys all the time. And so with this new property, this camp has continued to grow. And kids from several of those remote reserves that I showed you up north have come down over the past few years. Used to kind of be more local reserves, but it's expanding north into these target reserves that we want to reach as well. So we had 5 kids fly down from one reserve this year, a reserve called Fort Hope. And we had 2 kids from another one. We had kids from 3 of those remote reserves in total this summer, kids from 3 of the reserves, trying to get my facts right. And God has just done a really great miracle and work through the camp. So to kind of give you an idea, as opposed to, normally we think of like a Bible camp as something that churches send their kids to, kind of more discipleship orientated. Wasaya North Bible Camp reaches a lot of unreached boys and girls, kids who don't know the gospel, who aren't plugged into a church. So it's very evangelistic focused and discipleship, obviously, for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But a lot of these kids hardly know a verse of the Bible, if that. So we teach them Bible verses about the gospel. And over the past few years, I've been helping out with the camp for the past 4 years and directing it for the past 3, even before we have been living up there. And it's just been so cool to see kids understand that Jesus is God the Son who died on the cross and rose again to pay for their sin. And sometimes, like for one of the kids this year, she's come the past few years, and it's kind of just been a hard thing, like reconciling, okay, people in the name of Christ did a lot of bad things to us in the past with residential schools and just the history with that. How can I become a Christian if they did this? Am I like betraying my heritage? Just a lot of questions that they go through, and we help them work through them and help them realize that Jesus died for them and that what happened in the past is definitely not good, but that's not what Jesus was about. Jesus wouldn't have done that, right? God wouldn't have done that, and he wasn't happy about what had happened in the past. And helping them kind of understand that and realize that they can be a Christian and still be native at the same time, right? So helping them understand that one of these girls this past year, she got saved a while back, but this year she came to camp. Her name is London. And at camp in the last service there, we have a morning and evening Bible study. And I was sharing with them, and one of the verses talked about baptism. So because the verse talked about it, I just wanted to talk about it briefly, help them understand that baptism is not something we do to be saved or to stay saved. Baptism is simply the external expression of what has happened on the inside, right? You believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, and baptism is telling the world basically about your faith, right? Telling the world that you believe on Jesus Christ. I mentioned that, and this girl who is saved is like, she came up to Pastor Rick afterwards and is like, I need to be baptized. I just need to be baptized. I need my family to know that I'm a Christian. So we talked with her a little bit, made sure she understand what it was about, made sure she was doing it for the right reason, and a few weeks after camp, she got baptized with her family. Her mom is right there in the red. She's in the middle in the black. And her whole family was there unsaved, and they all heard the gospel from her. She shared the gospel with them before she got baptized, and it was just so cool. It was an amazing thing, and that's really what the camp is all about. Getting these kids to understand that Jesus died and rose and paid for their sin, and teaching them that they can share that message with those in their community, with their family, their relatives, their friends, their neighbors. And that's what's happening. God is doing a great work through the camp. Unfortunately, she moved away. She got baptized and had to move away like later that week. So her parents recently got divorced, but both parents were there. They heard the gospel. But she said, I'm coming back to camp next year, even though she's like 15 hours away from where we're at now. So it's really cool. God is doing a great work. Three of those red dots sent kids this past year, and then a bunch of local towns and reserves sent kids as well. So this is what the camp looks like now. If you went up this summer, it probably looked very similar to that. That's actually an older photo. There's a few more buildings, but that's where the camp is at. It's on its own lake there. So it's just a perfect area to have kids come and hear about Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the lodge there. And the work crews that have come up this summer. So between May and now, 180-something people have been up this summer to help at the camp. People coming up from Canada and the U.S. to help work at the camp, to help with construction, and you guys were some of them. So thank you so much. I think you guys are on the bottom left. You can see bottom left? Yep. You can see Pastor Steve down there. Clarence is there. All of you guys. So we appreciate you guys and your help, and we'll be needing more help in the future. So Canada's always open if anyone wants to come up and help. It's great. Another cool development that's been going on recently, and some of you guys are aware of this, is in this town of Nikina, that white dot up there, we've been having a Bible study for the past 3 years up there. Pastor Rick and Jamie began that 3 years ago. I was kind of up there in the beginning going door to door, but then I left because I didn't live up there. So, but now in the past month or so, a door has really opened up. This church building was the Catholic church in town. They decommissioned it and took the Holy Spirit out of the tabernacle, whatever that means, last November. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell there, right? So they did that, and we had been emailing them, hey, are you guys interested? Would you be interested in donating this to continue the work of God, kind of using their language, and to continue the work of God in this town. And they're like, nope, we're not going to sell it. So we continue to kind of email them every once in a while, share with them about the work that we're doing with about the Bible camp and our outreaches. And they reached out to us this July, or it might have been August, and they're like, hey, we're going to sell it, we're going to list it, but we want to give you a shot to make an offer before we list it publicly because of our just continual asking them. So houses in this community probably go for around between $90,000 to $150,000, somewhere around that. And so this building would probably be around $120,000. It'd be a bigger building. And what happens a lot in this town, because it's home to a lot of outfitters, there's probably four or five outfitters in this town. There's two seaplane companies that do remote fly-in camping and canoe hikes and fishing trips for people. And then there's two airline companies at the airport that fly these reserves, people from these reserves in and out. So what would probably happen, and what happens with a lot of the other houses, is a few brothers or whatever get together and they buy a house and they kind of make it their summer home where they could rotate it. So we were kind of afraid of that happening to this. And they could probably easily get $120,000 for the building because it's a good size building compared to other buildings in the town. But obviously, you can only offer what you can afford. So we prayed about it, and a donor came alongside and was like, you know what, we could do $30,000. So we put in an offer for $30,000, and they accepted the offer. So we're closing on that building October 31st, and we're going to be beginning church services there as soon as possible. So probably November, December, we're going to be officially planting that church there and starting that up. So that's really exciting, and we'll be kind of commuting, being at Beardmore in the morning and then driving up there for the church service on a Sunday afternoon, and kind of doing both things. So we're really excited about that, and our end goal is probably to be moving up there at the end of next year, and being a more permanent, just being permanent in the town, because it's hard to minister from a distance, 2 hours away. You have to be with people to build trust with them, to build relationships. So that's our plan, is moving up there in the near future to minister. So this is Nakina, the Nakina Mosquito. Small town, it's about 300 people. You can see the church there circled right in the middle of town. So we're just really excited about all God is doing up there. And we thank you guys for your prayers, your love, your help, your support, everything. We couldn't be up there without you guys. The Mikishes are so grateful for you guys as well. They couldn't be up there without you either. So thank you. We're just excited to be here to share that with you. This is a sign up for our newsletter. I will have a disclaimer. If you guys are on the Mikishes newsletter, it's pretty similar. Okay? Because, I mean, we're working together. So what happens to him happens to us. But we try to make it a little different. But if you wanted to scan that, that'll take you to our website. And you could just scroll down to the bottom of the main page and sign up for the newsletter. Just put your name and email in there to kind of stay up to date with what's going on up in Canada. We'd appreciate that. If you can't do it now, it's back on our table in the back. You could sign that or on the prayer cards. So prayer cards at the back table, we'd appreciate it if you take it and just keep us in your prayers. So let's pray, and then let's get into God's word today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for bringing us here today, Lord, to worship you. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross and rise again to pay for our sin. Lord, I thank you that we have hope because of that, because it's not something that is dependent upon what we do, upon our works, Lord, but it's all about what you did, Lord, and we just accept your gift of eternal life through putting our faith in you, and we're grateful for that. Lord, help us to be bold with the gospel. Lord, I'm praying for the people of Deer River Bible Church, that you would help them to be bold with the gospel. Lord, help us to be bold with the gospel up in Canada. And we thank you for this amazing message that you've given us to share. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So the first time I went up to Canada, how did that get in there? Oh, that is, I don't remember putting that in there. Otherwise, it's all good. That's on our website. It's just a video that tells a little bit about us. It's a little outdated now, but it's all good. That was before we moved up. But anyway, the first time I went up to Canada, I had met Emily It would have been a month before. So I met Emily a month before the first time I went to Canada, and I didn't go up with her. Like a few months before that, my dad and some of his pastor friends had actually planned a fishing trip up into Canada, and I got invited to go. And I didn't realize till I got up there, it was a remote campsite, I got brought up there to pump pure water through the water filter. So that was a hassle. There was like eight pastors and then me and one of my buddies, and our full-time job was making clean water that they could drink. But we still got to go fishing here and there. So we were going up there, and my dad and my uncle, who's a pastor, who kind of like head up the trip, had just met the Mikishes like a month before, although this trip was planned several months before, and I was planning on going on it. So I was like, oh, they met the Mikishes, and I just met Emily. I had some interest in her. We were kind of talking, and it's like, oh, cool, I get to go meet her family, meet her dad. So met her dad and stuff, and we went, and we stayed at the parsonage at the church in Beardmore, some of the pastors and myself, and it was the first night we were there. And in Beardmore, I didn't have any cell service, like absolutely zero. I didn't have Canadian. I mean, most people did. I am a cheapskate and got the cheapest cell service I could find in the U.S., so I had like absolutely nothing up there. But the church next door to the parsonage had Wi-Fi. So I'm like, you know what? I could call Emily with the Wi-Fi. So it's late at night, probably like 11, and everyone's going to bed. My dad's going to bed. And I'm like, I'm going to go call Emily. I don't tell anyone this. I leave the house, go over to the church, and I'm talking with Emily on the phone. And about an hour later, I see someone outside the parsonage with a high beam flashlight just going around like this. Looking around, there's a river right next to the parsonage, the Blackwater River. And I see the light kind of going down by the river. And I kind of realize, that's my dad. So I'm like, Emily, I got to go. My dad's looking for me. So I hang up. I walk out of the church. My dad's about to go inside. And I walk over to my dad. I'm like, hey, Dad. He's like, Bryce, I was looking all over for you. I've been out here for the past half hour looking for you. I thought you had drowned in the river. This is the Canadian wilderness. You didn't tell me where you were going. We're in the middle of nowhere here. I was about to call the police and they'd have to come and we were going to do a search for you. Next time you need to tell me. He was really frustrated with me, and he's normally not mad, but he was just scared, right? And kind of lays into me a little bit. It's like, okay, let's just go to bed. So, but he was really worried for me because he thought I drowned in the river. That's always what I've done, though. Like, growing up, he gave me a lot of liberty. I'd go in the woods outside of our neighborhood and go there the whole day and explore and build forts and stuff, but can't do that in the Canadian wilderness. I mean, now I do all the time, but the Canadian wilderness isn't as dangerous when you live up there. But it's all good. So he was really worried about me and concerned for me. And when you think about it, right, when you think about the world that we live in, so many people don't know about Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they need to hear this message of Jesus Christ. And the reality is, right, every one of us is going to spend eternity somewhere, whether in heaven or hell. And I'm not into turn or burn, like preaching like hellfire and brimstone. But at the same time, right, we do need to share this message with the world around us because there is really a heaven and a hell. And the consequences are high in this life. But when you think about it, there's a spiritual battle that takes place when it comes to sharing the gospel. I remember when we first moved up to Canada, there's some people that Emily and I ministered to, a couple, and their names are Sebastian and Maggie. Our community is kind of older. They're some of the younger people in our community. So we would hang out with them. He's a professional fishing guide, so we'll take people fishing. And I was hanging out with him. We were hanging out with them, and it's always kind of hard to bring up the gospel for some reason. And the reason is that there's a spiritual battle. But we were picking blueberries one day, and I just remember, I was like, I need to talk to him about the gospel. And we're picking blueberries, and Sebastian and Maggie are over there, and Emily and I are over here. It's like, do I go over there? But like, is it going to be like weird? Do I just like bring up the gospel? And I kept playing over and over in my mind, how do I do it? And you wait for this perfect opportunity to come, and believe it or not, the perfect opportunity to share the gospel never came. And I was kicking myself afterwards because I should have just brought it up. What was I waiting for them to do? Like ask, like, hey, how do I go to heaven? And certainly those happen, right? The Philippian jailer. But that's the exception. It's not the rule. And I was so nervous about bringing it up. How do I bring it up in the right way? That at that time, I never shared the gospel with them. And the excuses were just running through my mind, right? Like, well, you know, he'd been to church once. He heard the gospel at church. I could always do it again. But how many of us can identify with that, right? How many of us have kind of felt led to share the gospel? God put on our heart that this person needs to hear the gospel. And for whatever reason, we didn't share it, right? And there's a real spiritual battle that takes place because the devil knows and wants to keep us from sharing the gospel with people. It's funny, politics here in the U.S. are definitely like, people have disagreements, right? When it comes to Donald Trump especially, right? A very controversial person. But in Canada, like, everyone hates him. Like, everyone does. So, love him or hate him, I mean, whatever. But, like, they absolutely hate him. So, but it's funny, I was talking with a guy the other day, Pastor Rick and I were in the store, and Pastor Rick has kind of been sharing the gospel with him. It's in a small hardware store up in a town near us, and you know everyone in town. So, Pastor Rick's like, hey, Bryce, this is, Jeff, I think? It's like, Jeff is a huge Trump fan. Huge Trump fan. He's like, oh, yeah, biggest fan ever. Comes over, he's like, you didn't vote for him, did you? I'm like, I did. And he's like, oh man, you got to be kidding me. And we had a good talk about it. It was good. But it was easier to talk to Jeff about Donald Trump, a guy that he absolutely hates, and he ranted into me a little bit. It's all good. But it's easier to talk to him about Donald Trump than it is to talk to someone else about Jesus Christ. And that's because there's no spiritual battle when it comes to politics. I take that back. There are in spiritual issues, okay? But you get what I'm saying, okay? But there's a real battle around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the devil wants to do everything he can to keep us from sharing that message. But Jesus has given us a mission to share the gospel. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." God has given us this mission. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the what. What is the message, right? The why. Why do we share it? And the how. What can we do every day to take part of reaching this world that we live in with the gospel of Jesus Christ? The first thing we're going to talk about is gospel fluency. Fluency. Be ready to share the gospel clearly. Right? And thank God it's a very simple message. It's not what we have to do. It's not you have to go to church this number of times. You have to be baptized, catechized. You got to be nice to old ladies. Give a lot of money to the Salvation Army. Right? It's not a checklist. And if it's based upon what we do, we can never do it. Right? Salvation is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, not upon what we do, not upon our works. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? God loves us, right? The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." God loves us and he created us to live forever with him. That's so amazing. But the problem is that you and I have all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the problem is our sin separates us from God. The wages of sin, the punishment that we deserve for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing we can do to get rid of our own sin. And that's why Jesus came and died and rose again. to pay for our sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, or he demonstrated, he showed his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad that Jesus did that for you? Aren't you thankful that God loved you even when you were still a sinner? And we are still sinners, right? But aren't you glad that even while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ came and he died for us? That's the greatest message ever. And that's the message that you and I, as believers, are tasked with sharing this with the world. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I love this verse. For he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and put our trust in him alone, God gives us his righteousness, right? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Jesus Christ, right? God sees us as righteous, as his Son, Jesus Christ. This verse, don't you love it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, spend forever in hell, but have everlasting life, go to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you aren't 100% sure that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home. If you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, I urge you to do that today, believing that Jesus was the Son of God who came and died on the cross and rose again to pay for your sin. And that salvation is not based upon what you do, but it's based upon what Jesus Christ did on your behalf. If you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, I urge you to do that today. That's the what? That's the message that you and I are responsible to share with the world around us. The why. Why is there urgency behind the gospel? Open your Bible to Matthew 28. This is going to be our main text for today. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. I'll give you a second to turn there. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe or obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So kind of looking into this passage, we see a few key things here. What is this passage talking about? What is the Great Commission? We hear it so often. What is it, right? There's a few different passages we look to. Acts 1:8 that we read earlier, right? And ye shall be witnesses of me, Jesus is talking, right? We see Mark 15:16, or is it 16:15? I don't know. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We see right here in Matthew, right? All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I don't have that last verse there. I do, but it wasn't on the screen. So we see these two main components of the Great Commission. The first one is to preach the gospel to everyone. And ye shall be witnesses of me to the whole world. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Guys, this is not just another task that we have, another checklist item. No, this is the reason that God has kept believers on this earth. It's to reach the world with the gospel. The reason I titled this message, Go and Rescue, is because this is a God-given rescue mission. This is not just going and trying to sell someone on Jesus. No, people's eternal destiny is at stake. And as believers, God wants to use each and every one of us as the medium, right, through which he conveys this message to the world. The second part of the Great Commission is to make disciples of believers. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe or obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, when a believer is discipled, right, what is God's commission to disciples? Go preach the gospel and make disciples. Right? It's a repeating process. If it's just Pastor Steve sharing the gospel or Pastor Brian sharing the gospel, that's just an addition process. Whoever they reach is the only ones reached. But you see, if we as believers invest in reaching the lost for Christ and discipling believers, it becomes a process of multiplication. Those that trust Christ and are discipled, go and share the gospel and make disciples as well. Church, this is our God-given mission. This is to be our focus, our purpose in life above all else, is to rescue the lost. And I understand we don't do the rescuing, God does, right? But God wants to use us to share that message, the message of salvation with the lost, and to disciple believers, teach them what Jesus Christ has said. Teach them what God's word says. And this is so cool. If this message were based on us, we'd be pretty hopeless. But this is awesome. Read the beginning of verse 18 again. I'm going to click back here. There we go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Acts 1:8, verse we read earlier, says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. God gives us his power to fulfill this mission. This is not based on us just kind of like picking ourselves up by the bootstraps and kind of, I'm going to go share the gospel of the world. No. My mic keeps falling off. I apologize. God gives us his power to fulfill his mission. And at the end, we see it at the end of verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He gives us his presence. When we choose to take part in the mission God has given us, God is there with us. His presence is with us, and he gives us his power to fulfill his message, or to share his message. Isn't that awesome? We don't have an excuse for not taking part of it. With a Bible camp and as a third grade teacher before moving up to Canada, I guess not as much with a third grade teacher. I'd make my kids do it. But with a Bible camp directing it, especially this past year, there are some kids who just don't want to take part in the activities. And to me, that doesn't make sense. I'm hardwired for competitiveness. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's against someone else, I'll do it. Like, I'll take you on. And it's funny, we have games. Like, I have my counselors that I brought up, and they've spent months preparing these games, planning their Bible lessons, planning these memory verses, putting so much work into it. And then some of these kids come to camp and it's like, can I just sit out? And they're teenagers. They're like 15, so I don't know. I struggle with it. Like, do I just be like, no, you're going to play. Get in the game. Participation is mandatory. But if they're going to be a stinker about it, I don't know. Like, do I just, I don't want them pulling everyone else on. So I've kind of struggled with that, but it's like, to me, it never made sense. There is something fun going on, and you would rather just sit on the bench and watch? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Especially when people have put hours and hours of hard work into making this happen for you, and you're just going to sit on the bench because you don't like to play games? Like, I don't know. But when we don't take part of this mission that God has given us, We're like doing the same thing to a much greater degree. We don't have an excuse not to get in the game. It's not like, oh, God, I'm unathletic, I can't play. God, I'm not a good speaker. Like, sharing the gospel, I hardly know John 3:16. Like, I couldn't do that. No. God leaves us totally excuseless for taking part in this mission as believers. He gives us a simple message. He gives us His power, and He gives us His presence to do it. It's an urgent message, too. You know, James 4:14, for you know not what your life is. It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our lives are so quick. There was a man up in Canada. His name was Lori Savage. And we went and visited him in the hospital several times. And it was in August, I think, that he passed away. And we had been there several times. And in his older age, he's in hospice. And we had shared the gospel with him several times. But sometimes it's really hard to get there. He always turned the subject away, kind of was uninterested. But his mind was also kind of going too. So I don't know that he was totally with it. But the temptation sometimes was like, we're going to be back next week. We're going to see him next week. We made the stop every week to go visit him. But then one day, we heard word from his son that he had passed away. And man, were we glad that we shared the gospel with him. Even when it's hard, even when he was trying to kind of brush it off and get away from it, right? We don't know when our last breath will be, and we don't know when the last breath of our relatives, our neighbors, our friends will be either. This is an urgent message. You think about Luke 17, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, right? What did the rich man who was in torment beg of Abraham? That Lazarus would go back and share that message with his brothers. When you think about it, everyone who's ever left this life on earth and passed into eternity, every single person, whether they're in heaven or hell, wants you to share the gospel. Because they see what reality is. Even those in hell don't want others to come and suffer the way that they're suffering. It's an urgent message. Finally, gospel strategy. How can you and I take part in this mission that God has given us every single day? How can we take part in this mission? I just need to pull out the verse sheet, make sure I'm giving you guys all the blanks there. First thing is care. Have a burden for the lost. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 9. Romans 9, verses 1 through 3. Romans 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You think of the Apostle Paul's burden here for his kinsmen, his countrymen, his fellow Jews. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. If it were possible, the Apostle Paul is saying, he would trade his eternity in heaven so that someone else can go to heaven. His countrymen could go to heaven in his place. Think about that. I mean, I think about my own life. I wouldn't trade my eternity in heaven for anything. But he cared so much about the lost that if it were possible, he would do that. He had great sorrow and a burden for his countrymen. You think about a burden that big, right? It's not something you could just conjure up within yourself. How did he have that burden? And I think the simple answer is this. I think he was just that close to Christ. I think he spent time with Jesus every day, and he became more and more like Christ. Because when you think about Jesus Christ, he was separated from the Father for you and for me. Jesus was cut off from the Father for you and for me so that we can know for sure that we can go to heaven. Jesus didn't just wish it. He didn't just care, oh, I really care for those people. I hope they can make it to heaven. No, he went to the extreme and did everything so that we can go to heaven. And I think that's the simple answer to how the Apostle Paul had this burden. He spent time with Jesus. Jesus had a burden for the lost. So much, though, that he gave his life for us. He was cut off from the Father for us. And I think the Apostle Paul just had that close of a relationship with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus every day. What did his burden lead to, though? It didn't just say a burden. Turn the page, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, 1, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The Apostle Paul prayed for them. He prayed for his fellow countrymen. He prayed for their salvation. Do you pray for someone's salvation? We should. His burden led him to pray. It's funny, I was teaching the youth group last week. This is in my notes, so it's free. I taught them, I heard a pastor say, give an acronym to pray for Bob every day. And Bob is not a person. Bob is it an acronym or an alliteration? I don't even know. I'm not into that English stuff. But pray for those you're burdened for. Pray for a burden for them. Pray for opportunities and pray for boldness. Bob. We can pray for boldness as well. Turn to Acts chapter 4. You're familiar with the story of Peter and John. They went into the temple. This is shortly after Pentecost. And there was that man asking alms of them. And what did they say? They said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man went into the temple praising God. And the religious leaders pulled him aside. What's going on? Who healed you, right? And Peter and John were arrested for that. And they were kind of tried, and they were just threatened at this point. And they were threatened and said, don't preach at all in the name of Jesus. So they come back to the church after this. They come back to the gathering of believers in Acts chapter 4. And they tell them everything that had happened. They tell them, yep, we had been preaching about Jesus. This man was healed. Thousands of people heard the gospel. And they come back and they share this. And what do? They pray for boldness. I'm trying to find it in my Bible. I apologize. Acts 4, verse 29. There we go. And now, Lord, this is their prayer, the prayer of the church after this had happened. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants with all boldness, or that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They prayed for boldness. And look what happens. Look what happens. Go down to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken together where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God didn't answer a year from then. When they had prayed, they prayed and God gave them boldness. God hears our prayer, right? His desire is for the lost to hear the gospel. So why wouldn't he answer our prayer for boldness? Aren't you glad that it's not in our strength that we share the gospel? Aren't you glad that God gives us his power and his presence to do it? Finally, the last part, care, right? Have a burden for the lost, share, or prayer, right? Pray for them and then share. And when we do these first two things, when we have a burden for the lost, when we're praying for them, this third part comes a lot easier. Because where there is prayer, there is power. For the last verse, turn to Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, this is Jesus talking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Church, this is our mission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to disciple believers. This is your mission. This is not just for missionaries to Canada or in other parts of the world. This is not just for Pastor Steve. This is for each and every one of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. Regardless of our talents or our skills or what we think we could do or not, God is there to give us His power. He's there with us, giving us His presence to fulfill this great rescue mission. This is for each and every one of us. I have there in your notes, who is someone in my life that needs to hear the gospel? I want you to think about that. Don't need to write it down right now, but I want you to think about that. Who is someone in my life that needs to hear the gospel? Because you all know someone that Pastor Steve will never meet. And definitely someone that I'll never meet. Right? We all know someone that someone else doesn't. Someone that needs to hear the gospel. This amazing message that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and rose again to pay for our sin, and that anyone who believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Church, it's our mission to share that. So what we're going to do is we're going to read this verse three times together, all of us. Mark 16, 15. We're going to pause between each time. All right? I have an instruction between each one for us to do, okay? Let's read Mark 16, 15 together. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Instead of the word them now, I want you to say your name. So for me it'd be, and he said unto Bryce. All right, let's say it together. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto Bryce, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay. Last time you thought of that name, or maybe you wrote down that name, someone that you know needs to hear the gospel, instead of every creature, I want you to put their name in the blank. The first time I preached this message, the name was Sebastian, that fisherman I told you about. He still needs to put his trust in Christ as his Savior, but by God's grace, I was able to share the gospel with him multiple times and have some really good conversations with him. Keep praying for him. Keep praying for him. But let's say it one more time, and I want you to put that name of a person that you need to share the gospel with in the blank. Let's do it. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto Bryce, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto Jared. That's your mission. That's my mission. We all know, you said it, who you need to share the gospel with. Let's be faithful to pray for that person, to have a burden for them, to pray for their salvation, pray for boldness and an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Let's pray. And then Pastor Steve, would you come up? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you that you've given us the opportunity to take part in so great a calling, every one of us. Every single believer, Lord, you would have us to share the gospel. Lord, I thank you that although you could have shared the gospel of the world through any other means, you chose to use us. I'm praying that we'd be faithful to do the work that you've called us to do, that we would go into all the world, into our neighborhoods, our families, and share the gospel, Lord. Give us boldness. Lord, I'm praying that you'd give us strength to do that. Lord, I'm praying that you'd give us opportunities. Would you soften the hearts of those that we care for, those that need to hear the gospel, Lord? Would you soften their hearts? Help them to see that your word is true and that you did come and you died on the cross and rose again to pay for our sin. Lord, I thank you that salvation is a gift for sinners, not something we have to earn. But Lord, we receive it through faith in you. We're grateful for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.